Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, better known as Quest Community Vibrations. I want to welcome everybody in and say good morning and have everyone say good morning before we start. Starting with Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And Justin, I'd like for you to say good morning. And then following you, I'd like to hear Brielle's voice say good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. And Mr. Harris, I know you're on the line. Let's hear your voice.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you so much. And today, I just want to say music is like poetry and has a message. And history is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend by definition, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, today, I'd like to start out by saying Welcome again to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, where not in this particular order, but Justin will be doing Diamonds on John Lewis and Ida B. Wells, and defining the word apathy. And Brielle, not necessarily in the order that I'm saying, will be presenting Ella Baker for Diamond and Fannie Lou Hamer. And she'll be defining the word democracy. So, well, that being said, I need to hand it over to our student host. And Justin, you lead the way. Take it away.
Welcome, everybody. It is student host Justin Hill, and it's time for my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. And my first diamond segment is on Ida B. Wells. And Ida B. Wells was born on July 16, 1862, in Holly Springs, Mississippi. She was an American journalist who led an anti-lynching crusade in the United States in the 1890s. She later was active in promoting justice for African Americans. From 1898 to 1902, Wells served as secretary of the National Afro-American Council. In 1910, Wells founded and became the first president of the Negro Fellowship League, which aided newly arrived migrants from the South. She participated in the meeting of the Niagara Movement and the founding of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP. What I think is significant about her is that she led an anti-lynching crusade. And that is it for my first segment of today, and I thank God for his name.
All right. Well, I thank you for presenting that segment on Ida B. Wells, because I didn't tell you this. If you don't know, she is one of the people that I admire very much in history, right, who wasn't afraid to stand up and wouldn't back down. So I want to bring in Tanisha and just tell us what you think about the segment presented, and if you'd like to share with us what you, your thoughts about Ida B. Wells.
Oh, yeah, Justin, you did a really good job in choosing Ida B. Wells. It's very remarkable just to see the long standing of the NAACP, and especially if we, I guess now as a youth in our generation, if the legacy that still stands strong to today, and that she was the founder of it, that's something that's very remarkable, and it's something to really look into, and especially to be able to tackle the issues that we are facing within our own day and time, especially with the housing situation and how, you know, housing is a human right. And it just makes you think about, you know, Ida B. Wells and how strong she was, and how she fought and courageous she was, and how it's important to be an investigative journalist. You know, she investigated, she did her research, and she brought the facts into light. And I think that's very important, and that's something that we can take from her, especially in our day and time, is to really tell our stories and tell our truth and really get into the media and be able, you know, to show and prove and to be able to educate. And also
okay.
Hold people accountable.
All right. Mr. Harris, any comments?
Yeah. first it was a very good segment by Justin. And the ironic part about Ida B. Wells is that in 1890, she was talking about trying to pass an anti-lynching law. And it wasn't until like a couple of years ago that that law was actually passed, 120 years later. You know, so in 1890, this was still a short time after the Civil War. And prior to the Civil War, there wasn't a lot of lynching of black people because we were property. And, you know, and once we stopped becoming property, that's when everybody felt like we could not everybody, but people felt that it was okay to do that. And she was a staunch advocate of that in the 1800s. And it wasn't until the 2000s that they finally passed the law that she advocated for in 1890. That's a big thing, but you got to stick with it. And the people around her did just that. So she gets praise for that, amongst other things.
All right. Thank you so much. Right. And it wasn't that long ago that law was passed, the anti-lynching law. I would like to turn it over to Brielle and give her a chance to chime in present your first segment. How about that?
Hey guys, this is Brielle, and on my segment is on Ella Baker. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. In 1903, Norfolk, Virginia, December 13, Ella Baker was born. Several years later, in 1918, she attended the Shaw University, Raleigh, North Carolina. In 1927, she graduated as an valedictorian. She then moved to New York searching for employment. Then she was able to find people suffering from hardship and poverty caused by the Great Depression. In her late 20s, she helped organize the Young Negroes Cooperative League, which would provide less expenses and services to members. Then Baker married T.J. Roberts, then joined the NAACP. In 1955, Baker co-founded the organization in friendship to raise money for civil rights movement in South. In 1967, she met Southern black ministers who helped the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, also known as the SCLC. Martin Luther King Jr. was the first president of SCLC, and Baker was the director. She left the SCLC in 1960 to help student leaders of college activist groups organize the SNCC. She continued to be a respectful, influential leader to the rights for human and civil rights. She sadly died on her 83rd birthday. It was December 13th. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my first segment on Ella Baker.
All right. Great job. Tanisha, we're going to come straight to you again. And what are your thoughts about the presentation once again and Ella Baker?
Yeah, Brielle, you did a wonderful job. You gave a lot of great information. And they were very hard hitters, like very admirable to even hear and also be in the limelight, especially with organizing and especially how we are activists to this day. So just to see their tenacity and their consistency and not giving up in the means of pressure says a lot to my generation, especially to y'all generation. That we always have to persevere and keep pushing no matter what, because things can manifest and makes things better.
Okay. We're going to bring in Mr. Harris once again for any comment.
Well, yeah, Ella Baker, she was like the face of working behind the scenes to make people up front look great. You know, she always had her hand in organization of different like movements and stuff, and she was very good at organizing and putting other people up front, because she was one of the strengths behind Martin Luther King during his stint, you know. And there's a lot of things that a lot of black women per se are very instrumental in the civil rights movement, in the whatever is positive for black people. You can always find a bunch of positive black women in the background, but they're really organizing and making sure everything moves. And she was the epitome of that, Ella Baker, and I liked her.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to add in, being that you mentioned women, right? You know, during the civil rights struggle, which still continues, I might add, during this period of time, women were not looked upon as being representatives or leaders of the movement. You see, many men, black men during that period of time, just didn't want to see a woman up front in leadership, leading a movement, for whatever reason. Fortunately for us, it didn't lead to the detriment of the movement. However, women did play an integral part. And a woman like Ida B. Wells, right, who was fearless in her activities, reporting on anti-lynching, a story that I always tell, that I will tell again. It is said that you know, she was threatened more than several times, threats on her life. I'm talking about Ida B. Wells. And she wasn't afraid to defend herself. And as a result of her courage, a lot of people really backed down, okay? And that's why I really admire her strength and her courage. During a period of time, you could do whatever you wanted to black people and literally get away with it. You know, last week we did a story about the sweet spot. That's where that phrase was coined, right? Ocean Sweet, who actually was able to win when he was taken to court for so-called defending himself. Well, anyway, I just want to commend Brielle. You know, that's a great job. And we're going to keep it moving along, right, with another segment. And I want to turn it back over to Justin.
Welcome back, everybody. Now time for my next segment of definitions. This segment provides the list with words and the meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on apathy. And that is basically a lack of feeling or emotion. It could also be a lack of interest or concern. And that basically means that, say, if someone is interested in painting or doing art, like drawing, and they find a new hobby, like singing or dancing, then and they do like singing and dancing a lot and don't really do art, they may lose interest in doing art, and all of their interest and focus is in dancing or singing. And that is it for my segment of definitions.
Okay. We're going to chop that up. You know, apathy comes out in many forms, where you don't have any particular interest in a particular subject matter. Let me just say what's on my mind. You know, a lot of people are apathetic or expressing apathy towards actually voting, or just in their every regular everyday lives, right? Not showing interest in wanting to be motivated and encouraged to keep the struggle going on. Now, I bring up politics because we do have an election on board. And I have to say that I have seen levels of apathy coming out in different forms as it pertains to the Republican and Democratic Party. And I see people not having a reason outside of what have they done for us lately, right, when it comes down to politics and voting for a particular person. But I need to say all politics is local. And when you vote, you should participate in that opportunity, right, so that it is something that it will better yourself, your community, and where you live. You know, a lot of people become apathetic towards the electoral process because they're looking at it from a national level. But you need to have a smaller lens to look at it from a local level. Person that you elect as your mayor, the person that you elect as your council person or alderman, right? Those are the people that make a difference in your life and your community and neighborhood from where you come from. And this is one of the main reasons why we have to continue the pursuit of our participation in the electoral process. Now, I said all of that to say, no, you should not be apathetic. You should not demonstrate apathy when it comes down to the electoral process. Now, I said a whole lot, so let me just bring in Tanisha and Ms. Gardner, and you don't have to talk about the election process. You can talk about apathy. But lay it on us. What do you think?
Reparations. Where is our reparations? They are so damn empathetic to us not having our reparations and all the pain that our ancestors went through, and we're still going down to this day. So I guess when people think about, you know, the government or you think about the United States, they were never apathetic. They were apathetic to us, I should say, you know. They never showed any care, you know, and especially how they wrote laws that dictate how you can live. Like, for instance, we're redlining. They literally created laws to make sure that that we couldn't buy homes. And that was the whole big thing about assigned suite, and the NAACP helped him. So that is very pivotal. And I guess now, what do we do in times like this? You know, like you said, you know, voting is very important, but who are you voting for? How are you voting? And are these elections rigged? You know, because that is something to really think about, because a lot of times they are not in our favor. You know, how did we go through all this and we still don't have our reparations, but you give it to everybody else? And do you criticize us to say that we are less than a being or we can't do things? So that's something to really delve into and really look at. And if you don't like the politicians, you can also vote them out. And people don't realize we have the power to recall, you know, and know what, you know, how the system works, you know, and that's how we can make it work for us, or just build a whole new system. But with that comes a lot, you know. It's something to dig into deeper.
Okay. You threw a whole lot in that pot right there. So rather than mix it up, I'm going to continue on to our next panelist, Mr. Harris. Apathy and your comment.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I think people equate apathy as being the opposite of empathy, when apathy could also be a mental disease, because no one
right.
in a social society should not care about nothing or anybody. You know, the fact that you do that could be a sign of mental disease. You could be depressed, you know, or you can just be you would hate to say something because in your mind, the cognitive dissonance that's going to build up in your body by accepting something that you believe is not true, that can cause empathy in a lot of ways. And that could be a problem where, you know, you might need some kind of psychological help. You need to go talk to somebody about the fact that why you don't care about anybody or anything. And, you know, and that's what's kind of going on in this country now. You know, people are like just listening to other folks and just being sheep and following whatever the lion tells you to do, the sheep follow. And, you know, it's like a cult-like mentality. You know, apathy comes from being in a cult-like mentality. And it's I think it's a part of mental disease.
Well, when you look at the definition and you go deep, it is a part of depression. You're absolutely correct, Mr. Harris, and I thank you for highlighting that. But right now, what we're going to do is continue. You're listening to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And right now, I have the sound of Bob Marley. Get up and stand up.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Welcome back. It's no time to get too comfortable in your seat. It's time to get up and stand up. And that being said, I want to hand it back over to the real deal, Justin Hill, for his next segment of Diamond.
I'm the studio host, Justin Hill, and I'm back with my next segment of Diamond. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. and interdominant seeing reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply at your belt from yourself. And my Dharma segment is on John Robert Lewis. And he was born in Troy, Alabama on February 21st, 1940. Inspired by Martin Luther King Jr., he joined the burgeoning civil rights movement. He was elected to Congress in 1986 and received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2011. In 1963, Lewis became chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. That same year, as one of the Big Six leaders of the civil rights movement, he helped plan the March on Washington. After crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the marchers were attacked by state troopers. Lewis ran for office himself in 1981, winning a seat on the Atlanta City Council. And that is it for my segment of Diamonds, and I thank God for listening.
Okay. I want to bring in our panel and see what they think about John Lewis, right? And this time, we're going to go straight to Mr. Harris first. How about that, Mr. Harris? John Lewis, any comment?
John Lewis was a very strong brother, even at a young age, you know, because being from the South during that time, he faced discrimination in a lot of ways, you know, and like a lot of other younger people at that time, he felt like, well, we need to do something about this because this isn't right. So he would stand up and put his body, not just his voice, but his body in the way of discrimination, and he caught it a lot. He, you know, they busted him in his head when he was walking across the Pettus Bridge during the Birmingham Montgomery March, you know, and the fact that he was able to stick with it even after feeling all of that pain, physically and mentally, you know, he stuck with it. Like Justin said, he was in Congress. Matter of fact, there's a John Lewis bill that's trying to help get the voting equality. And, you know, and for some reason, our Congress don't want to pass that bill. I have no idea why. But he was very important, and he's a wonderful brother to know.
Okay. And when you say for some reason, I want to take it back to having the right people in political position that will do the things that we consider to be important, right, so that we have a finger on things that are passed and are not passed, and the level of apathy and non-participation. But there are a lot of different ingredients that go into that that won't make that, doesn't allow that to happen. But it definitely starts with participation in the electoral process. I want to bring on Tanisha Gardner, and thank you, Mr. Harris, for bringing that bill up because it's so important. That bill will allow that bill, the John Lewis bill that is still on the floor, right? I think it's H.R. 4. I stand to be corrected. However, the bill is specifically intended to stop individual states from changing the voting rights laws. And many people say, well, you know, what's the importance of voting? Well, I ask the question, if voting is not important, then why are they trying to stop people, certain communities, from participating? And that being said, I hand it over to Tanisha Gardner. Do you have any comments about John Lewis?
Like you said, you just hit it right on a nail. Hey, what I realized that everybody's that we did so far are interconnected, and it was all part of SNCC. So that is really something to know, that they had heavy hitters that really changed the game, especially for us now. I think that's something to really look at, and especially for us. It's like, how do we, you know, organized in a way that we are doing monumental things like how our ancestors did. And the simple fact that he continued his career and all the way went to Congress. So I think that's really something to admire. And I did pull up the bill, and it says that it's HR the 117th Congress. It came out 2021-2022, and it says that the bill establishes new criteria for determining which states and political subdivisions must obtain pre-clearance before changes to voting practices might take effect. Pre-clearance is a process of receiving pre-approval from a Department of Justice or the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia before making legal changes that affect voting rights. That is, like you said, that is something major, because when you do take away people's rights, it's no longer democracy, it's a dictatorship. And we have to realize that a lot of the laws that they are taking away, and especially when you look at the Patriot Act and how it overgumps us, and we really have to pay attention to the laws that they are passing and the laws that they are amending also. Something to really look into.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to continue musically with a song titled Freedom.
Wow, that lead guitar.
Jimi Hendrix and Freedom, right? We're going to get Mr. Harris to talk about some musical artists in just a minute, but right now we're going to go back to our student hosts and let them continue. And Brielle, I think you're next.
Hey, guys. This is Brielle again. And for my second segment, it's going to be Fanny Lou Hamer. Fanny Lou Hamer was born October 6th, Montgomery County, Mississippi. The 20th and last child of sharecroppers Ella Lou and John Townsend. She grew up in poverty, and at the age of 6, she joined her family in cotton picking. By the age of 12, she left school and started working. In 1944, she married Parker Hamer. Then they owned Mississippi Plantation by B.D. Marlowe until 1951. Hamer received a hysterectomy by a white doctor without her consent. She was unable to have children, so the Hamers adopted 2 girls. That summer, she attended meetings led by civil rights activists, including James Forman of the SNCC and James Bevel of the SCLC. She became an SNCC organizer, and on August 31st, she led 17 volunteers to register to vote at Indianola, Mississippi courthouse. The group was harassed on their way home, and when they were stopped by police, and the police fined them for $100 because of the bus being too yellow. That same night, Marlowe fired Mrs. Hamer for attempting to try to vote. Marlowe confiscated most of the property, so the Hamers moved into Louisville, Mississippi, in Sunflower County. Mrs. Baker and many other women was arrested for sitting in the whites-only area at the bus station. And at jail, they were brutally beat, leaving them with long-lasting injuries. She had eye, kidney, and leg damage. In 1964, Hamer helped organize the Freedom Summer, bringing hundreds of college students, both black and white, up with African-American voter registration in the segregated South. She traveled a lot, giving powerful speeches on behalf of civil rights. In 1969, she launched FFC, also known as Freedom Farmer Cooperative, also buying land so blacks can own and farm. So FFC lasted until the mid-70s. Extensive traveling and fundraising took away from Ms. Hamer day to day. Later, she sadly died of cancer in 1977. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Fannie Lou Hamer.
Okay. We want to flip it back and bring in Ms. Garner. Ms. Garner, Fannie Lou Hamer, any comments?
Yeah, that's a powerful story. Our ancestors went through a lot, and it's sad. Where we at right now is just like, I know certain things definitely got better, but it's like, God, like, how much do we got to keep going through? Like, it's just that's crazy. And especially with the hysterectomy, like, she couldn't even get birth. She couldn't live out the legacy, you know? And I think that's the importance of having children, is because they continue the legacy that you have, you know? I guess that's why it's our responsibility, even though we are not per se, you know, intergenerational within their DNA or their bloodline, but just the simple fact that we have to be able to keep their stories alive and truly create a difference within our societies and know the importance of life and how to value life, and anything that comes against it, it definitely has to be challenged and made correct.
Okay. Mr. Harris, Fannie Lou Hamer.
Man, now, I don't know how many people actually heard her speak, but she was extremely dynamic and her passion for equality. You know, she, like everybody was saying, she was integral in getting the Mississippi Democratic Party desegregated, so much so that she went to the Democratic convention in Atlantic City and came in with a black contingency. And she had to fight to get those delegates to come sit in at the convention, because the rest of the people from Mississippi was like, they don't count, even though they had legitimate votes, you know. And the fact that, again, just like John Lewis, she went through a lot of physical trauma and still stayed the course. And, you know, and again, you know, I got this thing for black women. I love y'all. You know, and she was very strong in being behind the scenes, organizing a lot of the freedom rides, a lot of the voting, like bus rides that they was having that down in the South, getting people registered to vote. She was really dynamic. And if you had, just go on YouTube sometime, if you haven't, and just listen to her talk. And it's just something else. You know, you can hear the passion in her voice. Fannie Lou Hamer, I would have loved to have met her.
All right. You know, I was sparked earlier to say this. You know, the struggle, while it still continues, the struggle ain't nothing pretty to look at, okay? If you're looking for rose petals and lovely sky, you know, sunrise and sunset, that's not what the struggle is about. The struggle is about looking the enemy in the eye, straight in the face, and having a level of perseverance, a doggedness to not give up, right, and continue to agitate, continue to move forward, follow the blueprint which has been laid before us. And this is what, you know, the young team members have to learn. The reason why you are presenting these particular people from history is because while the struggle still continues, we need you to bring to the table your different viewpoint of how we should move forward for our future. And you can't do that, Justin and Brielle, without knowing or having your finger on the pulse of what happened to us and for us in our past. And that being said, I want to turn it back over to one of the student hosts to continue on with the next segment.
So my definition of democracy is a government in which the supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly or indirectly through a system of representation, usually involving periodically held free elections. And that's basically it.
Okay. I'm going to go to Justin first. Justin, from the different diamonds, John Lewis, Ida B. Wells, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker, what do you think about these people? And Justin, I want you to speak from a level of your experience of sharing different diamonds. What do you think about today, Phil? What do you think about the people that we've spoken about today?
Well, today the show was great. What I think about the segments is they somehow connect together, because we're talking about how they were born in different periods of time and how they couldn't do many things.
Okay. Brielle, what comment do you have about some of the things that you've heard here this morning?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What do you think about some of the things that you heard here this morning?
I thought that it was very, I learned that, from what I learned is that some people, like, I would say Ella Baker, she had many experiences, so I felt like she wanted to make things better, so she launched out, somewhere where Black people can farm and they can, they have their own land. And I feel like, you know, they, the other person, Fannie Lou Hamer, she was able to give this powerful speech about civil rights. So I think it was very interesting this morning.
Okay. So, you know, what do you think about civil rights? And just to, you know, kind of let you know, Fannie Lou Hamer is the one who actually went out to get land for people in Mississippi. She understood the importance of being able to own land so that nobody can make you leave, right? And Ella Baker, but Fannie Lou Hamer was definitely an outspoken advocate for civil rights. And so while I know you're still learning, I'm going to let you off the hook and bring in our panelists. Help them out, guys. Tanisha Gardner, sum up the show for us and tell us what you thought, what your thoughts are.
Organize. Don't give up. We got to keep pushing. We have to create what we want in our own blueprints, and we make it happen. Because it's a big blueprint from each, from financially to definitely economically, because that's the mainstream. Also, bare arms, everything, every intricate piece is very important for our livelihood and our legacy to continue to live on. And we must continue to keep studying and learning new things and applying them to help our lives be better.
Okay. Mr. Harris, same question, but, you know, let us know what you think, brother.
Yeah, well, today's show, you know, was very interesting. You know, there was a lot of information and stuff bandied around, you know, but like Justin was saying, it all has a certain connectiveness. You know, where we look at things as individuals and we think things are important to ourselves. But the only thing that's stopping us from having the things that we want is like Tanisha was saying, we have to organize, you know, because the people who are oppressing us are not doing it because they're stronger than us. They're doing it because they're more organized, you know, and you can't beat oppression with oppression. Like the Black Panther said, you defeat oppression with unity. And that's the first thing we have to get together before we can make anything else happen. And the people we talked about today, they understood that it was more than just myself that I need to look at. You don't want necessarily just want things better for yourself. You want things better for you and everybody else around you. You know, just open up the playing field. Give me an equal shot, and then I can show you what I could do. But we are falling into the whole integration thing, where instead of us wanting to build our own community, we wanted to be a part of somebody else's community. And, you know, and that was one of the biggest mistakes. Even Martin Luther King said that might have been one of the biggest mistakes of this whole program, because we focus more on having – being able to eat at a white restaurant or at a countertop and instead of focusing on putting our money into our own businesses, which we had for years and which we lost when we fell into this integration trap. You know, and these people, they understood that without power, there's no change. And they all worked toward trying to get some kind of civil right. You know, Malcolm said maybe if we was looking for a human right, we might have got a little more done. But these folks put their life on the line every day, and they have to be applauded for that. And, you know, today's show kind of reflected that.
All right. Okay. Mr. Harris, I'm going to come back to you in our last couple of minutes. But before I do, I'm going to play a song, right, by Prince. And I'm going to have you talk about a few musical great artists and just share your thoughts on those people. And just stand by. Don't you go any place. Here's Prince.
Multi-instrumentalist, great entertainer. You know, he did a lot of stuff on like behind the scenes. Every time he went to a black like city to do a show, he would use a lot of the proceeds that he made to go into the school education system in that particular town. You know, he would help people that was like going through like problems getting housing and stuff like that, you know, but he would always tell people, don't say that I did it, you know, and then a lot of this stuff didn't come out till after his death, you know, but he was definitely a conscious brother, you know, very talented. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him in concert, but you don't get a better show than that. I tell you, I've seen him twice, and they seem like my top two shows I've ever been to.
All right.
I've been to many.
I'm going
to
ask you. Oh, yeah. Well, no. I want to thank you for blowing up the spot to talk about Prince. And I want to ask Justin to close us out.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations.
Three words. We tired of y'all.
Thank you for joining us. Quest Youth Radio is The best youth
the best
radio.
Youth radio.
Good, believe it.
Who the fuck that was? But you got you